go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Colossians. We're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. If you say in your heart and mind and believe in your being that you've been truly born again, then there ought to be somebody you can look at who's come to Christ because you're in Christ. God didn't save us that we might sit back and bask in the blessings. Simply do that. What He did was He saved us to go forth and bear fruit. The Bible says, abide in vine. He says, the branch abides there. It's good. He says, because God will then bring forth fruit through you. And when you bring forth fruit, He's going to prune you. Ah, I don't like that. He's going to cut me. He's going to trim back some branches. And then it says He's going to prune you that you'll bring forth more fruit, so that then you'll bring forth much fruit. For in this the Bible says the Father is well pleased. He wants you to be fruitful. But if you've been taught all your life that being a Christian is about your morality, being a good person, being a nice person, do you want to know what's crazy? People didn't die for being good people. They died for telling other people about Jesus. That's when they got martyred. If they would just have minded their own business, never said anything about anything, they're just a good person. But when truth came face to face with error in the pagan days, and when it comes face to face with error in our day, and we say, listen, I'm not going after somebody's perversions and say, you need to change, because I can't change people that way. I see people who get caught up in perverse behaviors today and stuff that would offend a holy God. And I get it, because the Bible teaches very clearly, such were some of us. But we're washed, we're cleansed, and now we're on our way to heaven. We're made saints. And what they need is, they don't need condemnation. That's already in place. What they need is, they need the grace of God. Do you know what's powerful about that picture I'm trying to paint here? Think about somebody starving. You've picked them up somehow off of the desert. There they are. They haven't eaten in days. They have no water. You know, they don't need to be lectured about how stupid it was to get in the desert. You dummy, what are you doing in the desert? No, they don't. What they need, what do they need? They need some water. You know, water? They need water. They need an IV. They need somebody to go out because they don't have any strength. They need somebody to go out and get some real soft food so they can eat slow, because it ain't going to come quick, because they're going to get sick if they eat too much too fast. Do you get it? Grace is like that. People are lost. They're wandering in a wilderness. The sun shines brightly and scorches their bodies, and they need salve applied. They need the balm of Gilead. They need the grace of God. They need to know there's a way to fix this, because there's hope in Jesus. That's what they need. And we live in a day where we want to get people right, and then we want to get them redeemed. You can't do it. You need to tell them about Jesus. And let the Lord's Spirit take care of the rest. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, He sheds forth His love in our hearts. And that's what will happen to them as well. If they'll understand that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, that is a huge, huge deal for somebody who's thirsty and parched and weak and have nothing left. The Bible says that if you'll do this, you're going to be increasing, therefore, in verse 10, in the knowledge of God. So we got that knowledge, be filled with knowledge and wisdom. That's just getting the ABCs of the Christian life down in your heart. This word here for knowledge in verse 10 is the knowledge of God in your experience. You know those Hebrew children that were cast into the fiery furnace? They had no idea God was going to show up. But I guarantee you that once they went into that fiery furnace and there He was, when they came out, they were different. Don't you think? I don't think they ever looked at life the same. They had been cast into a furnace that was heated 7 times hotter than it was supposed to be and needed to be. The king was so angry that they wouldn't bow down and worship the image He had created. They said, listen, O king, we will not worship your God. We will not bow down. Our God is able to deliver us from that fire. But even if He doesn't, know this, we will not bow down. And He's heated at 7. Throw them in the fire. And they threw 3 in the fire. The king says, wasn't there 3? They said, yes, three. He said, why is it then I see four and one is like unto the Son of Man? You want to know where God is? He's through the crucible of difficulty. He is in the midst of your witness. He is in the midst of your testimony. If you keep it to yourself, you will not increase in the knowledge of God. You won't know He's real in your experience. You have to scare yourself sometime a little bit. You have to take a track. You have to go somewhere. You have to take a stand. Sometimes it may cost you your livelihood. And in certain countries of the world, it might cost them their lives. I remember these 10 people who were lined up in one of the Muslim countries, and they were being beaten. Three of them, I guess, were males, and seven were women. And of the three, one of them was a little boy, a father and a son. They took the little boy, and they put him in front of the father. And they say, you need to renounce your Christianity. He said, I can't renounce my Christianity. You need to come back to Islam. We can't do it. They took the little boy and began to cut off his fingers in front of his father. This is a true story. Before his father. And the boy is screaming and he's hurting and he's saying, Dad! Daddy! He says, we can't, son. It's okay. It's okay. We can't renounce Jesus. It's okay. Cut more fingers off, and nothing was changing him. They took that child and they did this in front of the father, but they wouldn't change. So they took them and they nailed them to crosses and they did terrible things to them. But they took the women down the way and they abused them publicly, physically, sexually, right out in front of everyone. And when it was all come down, they throw them over a block where their heads are about ready to be taken from their body. And one in the crowd said that they watched these women as they were at the final moments of their lives. And these three women have their heads over blocks where they know their heads are going to be taken from their bodies. And they were praying, and one girl who was on the very end, evidently, where the man could see her, was saying prayers to God. And then she just stopped, and her face lit up, and she smiled, and she said, Jesus, done. He shows up when we are out there on the water saying, I'll walk with you. I'll go with you. But we, in America, we're full, and we have to discipline. There's this guy we were listening to recently. He was talking about marriage and how men don't think of anything when they're not thinking of anything. Women go, well, what are you thinking about? Nothing. I'm not thinking of nothing. And really? That is, no. Really? What do you think? Nothing. Nothing at all. Linda asked me the other day. She said, is that true? You think of nothing? I said, well, kind of. Sometimes she'll be saying, what are you going to do tomorrow? Are you going to do this? That? I don't know. I'm not there yet. Let me get there. When I get there, I'll get there. I'm not there yet. And it occurred to me that because of the wiring that men can do that, we can shut it down and keep it very low hum. You know, we just get enough in the cold stove to keep us moving. Women are going, what have I got to do? I got to do that. I got to write this. Got to do that. Got to make this. Got to go there. Got to do this. Pick that up. And you're looking at the guy and they're saying, what are you thinking about? Nothing. It freaks them out. Nothing. What do you think about? Nothing. Why are you thinking about nothing? May I ask you ladies for a moment? Wouldn't y'all like to just not think about anything for a little bit? Amen. We can. We can think of nothing. I know it drives you crazy. But here's what occurred to me as I was talking to her about this week. Men can think about nothing, but should we be thinking of nothing? Probably not. There probably should be more of a discipline that says, I'm going to drill down and find out what I need to think about earlier than at critical mass. People like Donald Trump, who hit the ground running and hasn't taken a nap since he got in office, it seems. He's always doing something. And people who are CEOs like he has been. A lot of people are like that. Men who just are, you know, wired to drive themselves are called workaholics after a while. But my point is this, that's a lot like America. Overall, we're rich. We don't have to think about a lot of things that are important to think about, like pleasing God. I don't have to think about that. So it takes discipline. And just like it has to take discipline for a man to drill down and say, I need to think about my wife, my kids, I need to think about important things. So it is for all of us. We need to think about, what can I do today that will be pleasing to God? And he says, I want you to do that. He says, if you'll do that, you'll be increasing, verse 10, in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might. You could almost say, strengthened by the Almighty. You see, that all might is not yours. That is His. And the Bible says you're going to be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Not out of it, according to it. Do you know how powerful God is? No. But there's a whole bunch there. And it's according to that. If I gave you out of my money, or if I gave you according to all the money that I have, there would be a difference in out of and according to. This is according to His might. He will show up in mighty ways. And the Bible says He will strengthen you according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering. Patience and long-suffering. Patience and long-suffering. Why are you going to need that? Because they're going to be throwing you in the furnace. Lion's den. They're going to be not liking you. They're going to be putting you out of their crowd. They're going to not talk to you. They're going to make you eat lunch alone at the high school playground or whatever. You're going to be needing some, you're going to need some long suffering. And you're going to need some patience. It says you're going to get it from God. Not only is He going to give you patience, long suffering, He's going to give it to you with joyfulness. And when He does that, guess what you're going to do? You're going to say, wow, how did I ever get through that? And it says, therefore, you're going to be giving thanks, verse 12, to the Father. What did the Father do? Well, three things. He made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance with the saints in light. You see that? Fit, verse 12, to be partakers with the saints in light. When you think about the saints, you may think about somebody else, but you don't need to. You can think of the saints, of every Christian you've ever known, every Christian who's ever walked. You're made fit. And that happened because what He did was He imputed to you the ability to be made fit. And then it says in verse 13 that God the Father not only made us fit to be partakers with them, but it says He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Do you know the Bible says you were once darkness? So not only were you delivered from it, you were delivered from being it. You were darkness. And He says you were delivered from the power of darkness. And the Bible says that we wrestle now not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and all the powers of darkness. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. And that was important to the Colossians because they were caught up in angels and they were thinking, oh, well, we got to worry about the devil. You don't have to worry about the devil. The Bible says in Ephesians that you've been seated with Christ in the heavenly places already. It's in chapter 2 of Ephesians, if you want to look it up sometime, verse 6, where it says, we've already been seated with Christ. Right now, you're already there. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. You're already above it. And the Bible says finally in verse 13 that He's translated us. I like that. Beam me up, Scotty. Amen. Only God can really do this. And He beamed us into the family of God. He says He's translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And that's where we get into the great treatise about who Jesus is. But think about what the Father did. It says He made us meet to be partakers with those saints. He delivered us from all the power of darkness. And He translated us into the kingdom of His Son. All of these things are treasure troves of wealth and riches. You don't have to worry about the devil. You don't have to worry about the demons unless you're not walking with God. If you're a child of God walking contrary to God, God will pull back His hedge. You walk with Him. It's not complicated. Just do simple stuff like loving God first. You know, we live in a day where people say, I like God and I like my sin. So I'll keep them both. That's paganism. Because what happens is we think we can manage God. You can't manage God. You have to prioritize God. God has to be first and let everything flow from them, not with something else. We have to be mindful that pleasing God puts us in a place where we're completely engulfed in His blessing and His protection. The Bible says the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of life. They got your back, man. They do. But if you're not walking, the Bible says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father's angels. And it means that He's not going to send them. He says, well, let him get bit. Let him get bit. Let him get bit. Let him get bit. He's going to be miserable. Maybe he'll wake up. That's what I'm going to do. He's not condemned. He's just not protected. Beloved, you and I live on some dangerous ground down here. And when you have spiritual understanding about what's really going on, and you realize that there's souls to be saved, souls to rescue. Jesus is coming. The world's going to get worse and worse. If you don't drill down now and get your Bible under your belt, there may come a time where they take your Bible from you and you're going to have to navigate on what you got. What do you got today? You got enough of it? Are you ready if they take your Bible away? I hope you are. But if you're not, it's up to you to find more and more chapters and verses that make sense to you so that you can get through the hard times. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.